Good morning.
Welcome to worship this morning. It's good to see all of you. And I also want to remind you to look at all the announcements that are at the back of the bulletin. One thing I do need to highlight is that next Sunday after our worship service, we will have our annual meeting. It had originally been scheduled for January, but with the ice weekend, we rescheduled it for next weekend. So next weekend after our worship service, we do have our annual meeting. Pam, you got an announcement?
And so after that annual meeting, we will be having a potluck. We have meat provided for the potluck, so the congregation is asked to just bring a side dish or a dessert. So come out and have some fellowship. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Pam. Any other announcements? Anybody else? Okay. Then I invite you to rise as we sing our opening hymn, Take My Life That I May Be. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In the beginning was the Word. In the Word was life. The Word became flesh and lived among us. Build yourselves up on your most holy faith. Keep yourselves in the love of God. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, let us be reconciled to God and to one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. Uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Almighty and Merciful Lord, grant us pardon, forgiveness, and remission of all our sins. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Stand watch over your family, O Lord, that we who depend entirely upon your heavenly grace may always be protected in the mighty fortress of your love. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We sing the hymn, Songs of Thankfulness and Praise. You may be seated.
The first reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 58. Why have we fasted, and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves, and you take no knowledge of it? Behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure and oppress all your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit with wicked fists. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice to be heard on high. Is such the fact that I choose a day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a reed and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast and a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh? Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, "Here I am." The word of the Lord. Psalm 112. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. It is well with a man who deals generously and lends, who conducts his affairs with justice. He is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. He has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn is exalted in honor. Second reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I, when I came to you, brothers, did not become proclaiming to you the testimony of God with loft, speech, or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Yet among the mature, we do not impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truth to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discernible. The spiritual person judges all things, but he is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ, the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and I ask the children to come forward for the children's sermon.
Good morning. Come on up. How's everybody doing today? Everybody doing all right? Good deal. Well, it's hard to believe that we just had ice everywhere. Now it's almost summertime. But the gospel lesson talks about two things today, and I'd like to talk about the first one. Okay? How many of y'all like jerky? Beef jerky, lamb jerky, chicken jerky? Hold up your hands. There you go. All right. There's a couple out there. All right. Good deal. I like that too. How many of y'all like pickles? Oh, there's a few more going up over here. All right. And it could be pickles, it could be pickled asparagus, pickled okra, pickled beets, it could be any of that, okay? Like those things? Good deal. Back in biblical times, there was something that was very valuable. What have I got right here? What's that look like? Pepper. Not pepper. Salt. Right. Salt. How do you think we get jerky? Back in the desert, they had to keep things fresh, and it was hard because it would get so hot and it would get so cold. And so they would use salt, and they would make the jerky type things. And they for fish, if you caught a bunch of fish, you didn't have a refrigerator to put them in most of the time, so you would use salt to dry them out and keep it fresh for you could eat. Okay, so salt was used to preserve things, but it was also very valuable because it would add taste to things too. But it became so valuable that wars would start over it. And people would spend lots of money on it. They would travel thousands of miles just to get salt. What do you use salt on? Do you use it when you get a, how many of y'all like salad? Do you like salad? There's a few that like salad, yeah. But have you ever had salad without salt? Ooh, that was a face. Yeah, you know what the word salad actually comes from? Salt, yes. And the other thing it was used for in biblical times is this. We talk about the altar, and we talk about how they make sacrifices on the altar. Did you know that they would add salt to their sacrifice? Because it was a sign of trust. It was a sign of trust that they were providing exactly what they were supposed to provide for the sacrifice, and that God would receive their sacrifice the way it was meant. And these days, we need salt. How many of y'all, some of you are athletes, I know, but what happens when your leg goes like that and you can't move it? Cramps, right? And you get cramp in your leg, and it's because you're lacking some salt. I know when I was playing, they used to just give you a big tablet made of salt that you'd eat to help release that muscle. Nowadays, they can give you different solutions that have salt in it. Maybe, and I don't know about you guys, I know you play ball, and in the softball, they give you pickle juice to drink to help it out. And one of the first things that they give you when you get hurt or have to go to the hospital, you get those IVs, right? Guess what? It's called a saline solution. It's salt, because our body needs it. So this is important. Very, very important. But why is Jesus talking about us being salt? Because imagine French fries and salad without salt. Yuck, right? What would the world be like if his love was not in it? Yuck, again, right. He asks us to be the salt in the world, to share that love that he has for us with others. And how do we keep that salt? It says, don't let that salt not have any taste. How do we keep the taste in our salt? We come here. We listen to his word. We get together at the table up there, which we're going to do later at communion. And we share and learn from that word. Then we go out and we become the salt out there. He also talks about light, but I'm going to change the verse a little bit because it's an important verse. You heard it at your baptism. You may not even know it, but you've heard it at the other baptisms. It's a very important one. It's in this gospel text today. It says, let your light so shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. We can change that to salt. We can be the salt that shows the people God's love and shows the glory of God in heaven. So that's what I hope you are today. Guess what? I'm going to give you... There's a box over there that Gwen's got that's got packets of salt in it. Don't open it. Okay? I want you to keep it for a reason. I want you to put it someplace where you can keep it and see it this week so that you remember that you are the salt of the earth. And all you have to do is keep salty, is keep coming here and share Jesus' love with others, okay? Does salt go bad? If you get it wet or hot. But if you keep it in the packet and keep it dry, it'll be just, you can shake it and still hear it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us the honor of being the salt in the earth. Help us to stay connected to you so that we can be that salt that never loses taste and shares your love with others, and let your light shine in the world. Amen. Get you a bag of salt, and have a good day.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our gospel lesson this morning comes once again from Jesus' sermon on what's known as the Sermon on the Mount. Last week we started it, and it starts off with the Beatitudes, and today we're moving along with the next set of sayings that Jesus had, or the next part of his sermon that he was speaking. And the sermon actually goes on not only through verse 5, which we read through, but it also goes all the way through chapter 7 and also, or chapter 6 and also chapter 7. So Jesus knew how to preach. He covered a lot of material here in this Sermon on the Mount. But today, we're looking at where Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. And Terry gave you a little bit of background on salt, and that's what I'm going to be speaking about as well then, too. And we know what salt is. It's common. You have salt shakers or have salt available wherever you cook. You have salt on your tables to add flavor. Again, too, Terry mentioned pickling. That's one of the main ingredients when you pickle. Salt has other uses then too. Our body definitely needs salt. Again, if we don't have enough salt, our muscles will cramp. If you don't have even that much, we will eventually die. Salt is necessary for our lives. I remember, but Jesus says here then too, that if salt has lost its saltiness or it lost its taste, it is worthless. I did spend some time up north. Another use for salt, and some of you are aware of this as well then too, on icy days, people would put salt on the sidewalks or steps or highway crews would put it out on the roads. I remember being up north, and sure enough, they would put the salt out on the roads. And what salt does then is it raises it lowers the freezing temperature so that even though water may be lower than 32 degrees, it will not freeze if it has salt in it. And so that melts the ice, or helps the ice to melt on the roadways. But I also noticed then too, after everything had melted away and after the roads had dried out, there was grit all over the highways. The salt that we normally have is fairly well pure. If you stick it in water, stir it around, you won't see anything in there. But the salt that they use for salting the roads is not pure. If you put that in a glass and stirred it around until it dissolved, you'd see a lot of other grit within that. And that's what was the issue back in the biblical days. A lot of that salt was not pure. It was refined, or it was mined, or it was taken from the sea, but it would have other stuff in it as well then too. So salt could lose its saltiness, and you'd end up with only the grit. And so that's what Jesus was speaking about here. Salt was essential before the days of refrigeration. It was a heavily regulated commodity. Governments would keep track of all the salt that was mined or taken from the sea, and all the salt that was sold, all the salt that was imported, and it was taxed. As Terry mentioned, there were wars that started over salt. Y'all remember Mahatma Gandhi in India, the revolution in India? That started in the salt mines. Salt has played a lot in our history of the world. We still need that salt. And Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. So what did he mean by that? What did he mean by saying you are the salt of the earth? It is a common substance. And so we go about our ordinary everyday lives. We live as ordinary people. We go through whatever, you know, our routines. We live our life. And we have our ups and our downs. But for most of us, it's not extraordinary. It's just common. It is there. It is a part of who we are. It's the way that God made us to be. Salt, like salt, it is a common substance. And so we are the salt of the earth. We are the people of this earth. But that doesn't mean that we're not important. Salt is essential. Salt, real salt, is essential in our lives for so many different purposes. And we, too, are essential. And that's what Jesus was saying for us. As he was teaching his disciples, the Beatitudes start, that he was teaching his disciples, and then also the crowds. And I think the word disciples simply means students. So all those crowds who were there for the Sermon on the Mount were also his disciples in this case. He was teaching the people, you are the salt of the earth. And he was speaking to everyone, you are the salt of the earth, because they are his disciples, they are his followers. And when we lose that message of who we are, of what we have become through Christ, we lose our saltiness. It's in our baptisms that we become who we truly are meant to be children of God. We receive that Holy Spirit. We receive that blessing of God. We receive those promises of God that he will keep us forever, that he is our Father, we are his children. And he will keep us forever. But if we lose that faith, if we lose the message that comes with that faith, then we've lost our saltiness. For many people, they have a sense about them. They have a strong faith. They have a strong faith, and it's about me and Jesus. It's I read the scriptures. I pray the prayers. I contemplate what God has to say, but I'm content just to sit under a tree somewheres and meditate on what God has to say. Jesus and I are tight. And if it stops there, the saltiness has lost its taste. Because our faith, it's good to have a good personal faith with Jesus Christ. It's good to have that personal faith with God. But if it stops there, the salt has lost its taste. Because that faith wasn't meant to be just about me and God. It's about God's message for everyone. Jesus goes on here, and these are related. This is actually in the same paragraph where he says, you are the salt of the earth, but then he goes on to say, you are the light of the world. So what happens to salt if it loses its saltiness? It's worth nothing. It's thrown out on a path just to be trampled over. So what happens to a light? And he gives a couple examples here. What happens to a light when you put a basket over the top of it? It's worthless. You can't see. You light a candle, you light a lamp, you turn on the light switch so that you can see. Either that or else so that you can make a beacon for other people. You know, one of the other things says here, a city on the hill cannot be hidden. Think about it. If you've been driving at night and you're going towards a large city, miles away, you can already see the glow in the horizon. All the light shining up from a city, that cannot be hidden. You can see those lights even from space. And I know probably y'all have seen those satellite pictures of where the population areas are. I know one time I was looking at a map, or I saw a map, and it was of Asia. And you could see where all the major Asian cities were. And then there was one black spot right in the middle of it, or right there in Asia. It was North Korea. They had no lights at night. And so it was blank, but you could see the definite borders. You can't hide the light because the light is going to shine in the darkness. And that's what Jesus says to us. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. If we have our salt, if we have that, if that taste of the salt is within us, if that faith is within us, that light's going to be within us. And that light is going to shine. It'll shine through in all that we think, all that we say, all that we do. That light is going to shine. And again, too, another tie to baptism here was the sentence. In the same way, let your light so shine before others so that others may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. That is a Bible verse that is read at every baptism. Because that's what baptism is about. Christ has filled us with his Spirit. He has filled us with his grace. He has filled us with faith. And that faith needs to shine forth. We are the salt of the earth. We are the people of this earth. We are the disciples of Jesus Christ. And we have that saltiness within us. But we also have that light that shines forth brightly so that others may see the good works of Jesus Christ. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing the hymn for the day, Oh, that the Lord would guide my ways.
Please rise for the confession of faith. In Christ, you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray that the light of Christ may shine upon the church, the world, and all people according to their need. Almighty God, cause your church to constantly preach Christ, crucified for the forgiveness of sin for everlasting life. Keep it from being conformed to the desires and whims of this world. Lord, in your mercy. Bless the people and ministries of this congregation. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Let everything we say and do glorify you and help our neighbor, especially the poor, the lonely, and the distressed people in our community. Lord, in your mercy. Father, being a disciple means being a student of Jesus. Give us teachable hearts and minds. Lead your students in paths of devotion and holiness. Form us into the disciples who walk with those whose path is hard and lowly. Use us to bring hope, encouragement, and Jesus' love to those who need it most. Lord, in your mercy. We remember before you our persecuted sisters and brothers. Make them lamps shining in dark places. Bring them justice and deliverance. Soften the hearts of their enemies so that they may turn to you and live. Lord, in your mercy. God of righteousness, empower the leaders of nations to govern and serve with a vision of your righteousness and a world at peace so that no one need live in fear of terror, violence, or oppression. Lord, in your mercy. Mighty healer, help all who suffer any type of ailment, injury, or distress to find comfort in your healing presence and with the help of medical personnel and compassionate caregivers. Transform their suffering into wholeness and joy. We pray especially for Lynn Magura, Elaine Molina, Rosa Harton, Joe Barnes, Janet Lemke, Marge Wilhelmson, Nick Picard, Margie Bolting, Kermit Kaler, Nash Stratton, and Bridget Innocenti, and the family of Helen Breed. We also ask, Lord, that you may send rain. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, we thank you for those who are at rest in you, especially those who were salt and light in our lives. Keep us in your care throughout our earthly pilgrimage. Kindle your spirit in us and help us to encourage one another along life's way. For the sake of your beloved Son, who gave himself for us, bring us into your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy. All these things and whatever else you see that we need, grant to us, dear Father, for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. We continue with the offering. You may be seated. Let us pray. Merciful God, in the mystery of the Word made flesh, you embrace our lives with your great love for humanity. With joy and gladness, we ask that you give us the grace to share your love through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Come, for all is ready. Body of Christ given for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O God,
and unite the wills of those whom you have fed with one heavenly food. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Our closing hymn, Children of the Heavenly Father. As you go forth into the world to serve God with gladness, be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. As you leave, you are invited to share the peace of the Lord with those around you. Go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.